Today is the 27th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible from the island of Patmos. I am Brian.
It's great to be here with you as we launch into a work week. It's an honor. And I am so grateful, as I say a lot, to have this place, this safe place, this oasis that we create together every day. Glad to be here. Glad to see you. I hope your week's getting off to a good start. And no matter how it's getting off, I hope that we can land this week with intentionality. We will do some transitioning during this week. I think it's tomorrow that we'll finish the book of Jeremiah. And we're in the final pastoral letter, the letter to Titus, in the New Testament. I think we finish that tomorrow as well. But we're here, and we are in today, and this is the present moment. So let's jump in. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 1 through 53. Thus says the Lord, I am going to stir up a destructive wind against Babylon and against the inhabitants of Leb-Kwami. And I will send winnowers to Babylon, and they shall winnow her. They shall empty her land when they come against her from every side on the day of trouble. Let not the archer bend his bow, and let him not array himself in his coat of mail. Do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy her entire army. They shall fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans and wounded in her streets. Indeed, Israel and Judah have not been forsaken by their God, the Lord of hosts, though their land is full of guilt before the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon. Save your lives, each of you. Do not perish because of her guilt. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He is repaying her what is due. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand, making all the earth drunken. The nations drank of her wine, and so the nations went mad. Suddenly, Babylon has fallen and is shattered. Wail for her. Bring balm for her wound. Perhaps she may be healed. We tried to heal Babylon, but she could not be healed. Forsake her, and let each of us go to our own country. For her judgment has reached up to heaven and has been lifted up even to the skies. The Lord has brought forth our vindication. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Sharpen the arrows. Fill the quivers. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose concerning Babylon is to destroy it. For that is the vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. Raise a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Post sentinels. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both planned and done what he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. You who live by mighty waters, rich in treasures, your end has come. The thread of your life is cut. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with troops like a swarm of locusts, and they shall raise a shout of victory over you. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain, and he brings out the wind from his storehouses. Everyone is stupid and without knowledge. Goldsmiths are all put to shame by their idols, for their images are false, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Not like these is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You are my war club, my weapon of battle. With you I smash nations. With you I destroy kingdoms. With you I smash the horse and its rider. With you I smash the chariot and the charioteer. With you I smash man and woman. With you I smash the old man and the boy. With you I smash the young man and the girl. With you I smash shepherds and their flocks. With you I smash farmers and their teams. With you I smash governors and deputies. I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea before your very eyes for all the wrong that they have done in Zion, says the Lord. I am against you, O destroying mountain, says the Lord, that destroys the whole earth. I will stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags and make you a burned out mountain. No stone shall be taken from you for a corner and no stone for a foundation, but you shall be a perpetual waste, says the Lord. Raise a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations for war against her. Summon against her the kingdoms, Ararat, Mani, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her. Bring up horses like bristling locusts. Prepare the nations for war against her. The kings of the Medes, with their governors and deputies, and every land under their dominion. The land trembles and writhes, for the Lord's purposes against Babylon stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. The warriors of Babylon have given up fighting. They remain in their strongholds. Their strength has failed. They have become women. Her buildings are set on fire. Her bars are broken. One runner runs to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to tell the king of Babylon that his city is taken from end to end. The fords have been seized, the marshes have been burned with fire, and the soldiers are in panic. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, daughter Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time when it is trodden. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest will come. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has devoured me. He has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his belly with my delicacies. He has spewed me out. May my torn flesh be avenged on Babylon, the inhabitants of Zion shall say. May my blood be avenged on the inhabitants of Chaldea, Jerusalem shall say. Therefore thus says the Lord, I am going to defend your cause and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry, and Babylon shall become a heap of ruins, a den of jackals, an object of horror and of hissing without inhabitant. Like lions they shall roar together. They shall growl like lions' whelps. When they are inflamed, I will set out their drink and make them drunk until they become merry and then sleep a perpetual sleep and never wake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams and goats. How Shishak is taken, the pride of the whole earth seized. How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. The sea has risen over Babylon. She has been covered by its tumultuous waves. Her cities have become an object of horror, a land of droughts and a desert, a land in which no one lives and through which no mortal passes. I will punish Bel in Babylon and make him disgorge what he has swallowed. The nations shall no longer stream to him. The wall of Babylon is fallen. Come out of her, my people. Save your lives, each of you, from the fierce anger of the Lord. Do not be faint-hearted or fearful at the rumors heard in the land. 1 year, one rumor comes, the next year another. Rumors of violence in the land and of ruler against ruler. Assuredly, the days are coming when I will punish the images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be put to shame, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall shout for joy over Babylon. For the destroyers shall come against her out of the north, says the Lord. Babylon must fall for the slain of Israel, as the slain of all the earth have fallen because of Babylon. You survivors of the sword, go. Do not linger. Remember the Lord in a distant land and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are put to shame, for we have heard insults. Dishonor has covered our faces, for aliens have come into the holy places of the Lord's house. Therefore the time is surely coming, says the Lord, when I will punish her idols, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify her strong heights, from me destroyers would come upon her, says the Lord. Titus 2. But as for you, teach what is consistent with sound instruction. Tell the older men to be temperate, serious, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, tell the older women to be reverent in behavior, not to be slanderers or enslaved to much wine. They are to teach what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled, chaste, good managers of the household, kind, submissive to their husbands, so that the word of God may not be discredited. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled in all things, offering yourself as a model of good works, and in your teaching, offering integrity, gravity, and sound speech that cannot be censured. Then any opponent will be put to shame, having nothing evil to say of us. Urge slaves to be submissive to their masters in everything, to be pleasing, not talking back, not stealing, but showing complete and perfect fidelity, so that in everything they may be an ornament to the teaching of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Declare these things, exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one look down on you. Psalm 99. Praise to God for His holiness. The Lord is King. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Moses and Aaron were among His priests. Samuel also was among those who called on His name. They cried to the Lord and He answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept His decrees and the statutes that He gave them. O Lord our God, You answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Extol the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Proverbs 26:17. Like someone who takes a passing dog by the ears is one who meddles in the quarrel of another. Okay, that proverb, that is, that should hit us right between the eyes. So have you ever been in a relationship with a person that, they insert themselves into every conflict they encounter? Like, they literally are a drama magnet. And they don't just get involved like peacemakers. They have an opinion about just about everything. And they have no problem sharing it, as if the world woke up this morning just to find out what they thought, whether they've been invited or not. If you've been on the receiving end of that, somebody inserting themselves into your business, or somehow feeling entitled to be in your business, this happens in families all the time, but it happens all over the place. So you can only bite your tongue for so long, right, before you snap back and put that meddler in their place. Or maybe it's you and you don't know it. Or maybe it's you and you do know it, especially when you get snapped at. So Proverbs, so many things come back to the things that come out of our mouth, right? So interfering in somebody else's argument, the proverb says, is as stupid as yanking on a dog's ears. We got a couple of dogs. I would say probably we love one of them, and one of them not as much, because she won't actually shut her mouth. She's one of the yippy kind of dogs, and we inherited her, and she's not our favorite. But we're dog lovers in general, animal lovers. I've pretty much spent my life, I guess, if I think about it, so much of my life in the company of a dog of some sort in my life. But whether we're friendly with dogs or not, maybe we're a cat person, we got cats too. We got chickens. So, whether you're a dog lover, a cat lover, whatever, I guess this would work with a cat too. Sneak up on a cat and grab it by the tail. Right? Cats, dogs are our pets. They have temperaments. They have personalities. We can play with them. They'll play back. They won't bite us. Like, even if we're playing with them and we've got our hand in their mouth, they're growling. They're just playing and they know we're playing. But if we creep up on them, like while they're sleeping and trusting, and we sneak up on them and grab their ears, or we sneak up on our kitty and we grab its tail, well, our furry friends are going to react very differently than as if we were playing or as if we were being friendly. They're gonna snap at us. So if we've been meddlers in the past, then our personal experience and the wisdom of Proverbs tells us that this behavior will only continue to get us snapped at and bitten. Man, maybe that explains an awful lot. Paul, in his writing to Titus, gives a different posture. He says we should live in this evil world with wisdom, with righteousness, and be devoted to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. So Paul's words encourage us to live with a hope for the future, beyond present circumstances and insecurities, which is where so many of these behaviors come from. Instead, we hope for God's kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven. And that gives us purpose. That orients our lives right side up. A choice that is far superior than trying to make meaning by inserting ourselves in meddling and slandering and gossiping. So if we feel this pull to involve ourselves in the conflicts of others, maybe just like one small pause and ask, like, how will inserting myself into this affect my relationship with God? How will it affect my relationship with these people? How will it affect God's kingdom, because I've devoted myself to it? And if there is, like, really, honestly, rarely should we be meddling, rarely, ever. So if there is no redeeming value other than that we get seen, or that we have some kind of clear, like, really genuinely feeling as if the Holy Spirit is leading us, then we should not meddle. And we absolutely should not slander and gossip. These are forbidden. Like, they're in lists in Paul's writing that are right there with sexual immorality and carousing. We should not slander and gossip. And so let's check out our motives before we get involved in things we are not invited to be involved in. And truly, like, become self-aware. Is this self-serving? Are we doing this because we think it's going to make us look good? Because it's not. We were not invited. It's none of our business. And so maybe we could create a significant amount of peace and so much less drama if we could pay attention to what we're doing. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Wow, that's a big one. But if we sit down, sit back, and imagine how much peace and how many hours we would gain back in the course of a year if we did not jump in where we do not belong, with people that have not invited us. That would probably be a fascinating exercise. So we invite you. Why do we seek the drama? What is that about? What are we looking for when we seek the chaos to give us meaning? Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Welcome back, Mrs. Harden.
Welcome. Hello.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode, edition, installment of whatever this is with Brian and Jill. And we are, we have had a long day of travel.
9 hours plus, but who's counting?
To get somewhere where we are, and that is the island, the Isle of Patmos, which is a Greek island that is off the coast of Turkey, near Ephesus. And it is famous because some of the most impactful writing in all of the Bible happened here. The Book of Revelation. So, we've come. We haven't, I mean, we will have a little bit of time in the morning to see the things that there are to see, and then we have a really, really long travel day tomorrow. Not looking forward to it. But we will end up in Crete.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. It's going to be a long, long day. So we literally set up a little studio right here on our hotel bed. I'm like literally sitting here talking to you right now.
Oh, no, I'm fully in bed laying.
Yes.
Down.
So we want to just check in. We got some rest and had a day off, and we needed that. We had to get up really early, catch a flight to an island called Kos. And Kos is in the Bible. It is very briefly mentioned in Acts chapter 21. It is a place that, like, I'm starting to get it now. These islands are all over the place, and I see why they sailed the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
To stay from the open sea and stay out of the storms.
Mm-hmm.
And stay close to, like, island places that they could try to get to if they got caught in a storm, because there's islands all over the place.
They are so beautiful.
So beautiful.
If there are any that are unclaimed.
I think there were a couple, but they look like very small pieces of rock.
I would volunteer to build a little garden set up.
Mm-hmm.
On it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Just even like a third of an acre, a quarter of an acre.
Mm-hmm. They are absolutely beautiful. Unique, very unique. And so, but I get it. Like, that really clicked for me today. Spending the hours that we spent on a boat, moving between these islands to get out here to Patmos. So it made sense to me, like, okay, I first of all, this is kind of how they got around. They're very similar to the way we got around, except for they had to use wind and to navigate and all. And, you know, we, of course, were propelled by massive engines. But I was like, okay, this is actually how they got from place to place. And it all makes sense to me. And so Paul was traveling and actually had a stop in Kos briefly. And then on to Rhodes, which is a place that we have to go through tomorrow. And so these aren't places where he got off the boat and planted a church, but they are places that he stopped. And the harbor at Kos is the same harbor. So that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to sit there, sit there on the dock with all of our stuff for hours waiting for the boats. Just so we wouldn't miss the boats. But there were worse places in the world to be trapped or like to be sitting for hours. It was a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day.
And got to learn a little bit more about Kos.
This is the hospitality situation that we're in right now. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
After sitting for about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, it's so pretty. I'm going to go just lay out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Because our suitcases and the benches where we could sit in were under a canopy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love the sun. I want to go sit in the sun. And I was just laying on the cement for about 4 minutes. And this precious lady came to me and said, excuse me, are you okay? Are you okay? Is there something wrong with you? And I said, oh, I am just enjoying the sunshine.
In fairness, you were enjoying the sunshine on this like massive parking lot, like cement.
Well, there was nowhere else to sit.
Literally, you were right. There was nowhere else to go. But you were kind of like laying in the middle of the road.
I just wanted some sunshine. It wasn't a beach. It was like...
It was the closest thing you could get.
A cement landing or jump in the water.
Yeah. Well...
And float.
Yeah. So, all of that. And interestingly enough, I learned Kos has ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
Like way more ancient than Paul, like 500 BC history, like Hippocrates was from there.
Yeah.
So like, and I learned like, okay, because we had learned about the god Asclepion, I think, was sort of where hospital and, health came from. And Hippocrates is like one of the first people to start applying scientific ideas to health. And I learned in school, all of us probably learned in school that, you know, like doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, and that's from Hippocrates. And He was Kos was an island of healing way before Paul like docked there for a minute.
And,
so people would come from all over the place to find healing. And I was like, man, reading about that, and they had, like this, we didn't get to see any of this stuff, but the hospital, like the place of healing still exists.
Yeah.
From Greek times, Hellenistic times, Roman times. And it was really interesting how places for like diet and beginning to understand what you put in your body is what can make you healthy. And they even had chambers for sleeping, for healing dreams, like mental health and all kinds of stuff. On this island of Kos, this ancient island out in the middle of the ocean.
Fun fact about my husband. If there is a piece of history to be found in any place that he goes while getting lunch for his family, a lovely pizza and Greek salad, he will find the ancient ruins and give you a entire history lesson.
Yeah.
I love that about you.
Thank you.
History over Greek salad and pizza. Very good salad and pizza, by the way.
It was good. I love learning. And I wasn't expecting to learn that. And that was cool way to kind of spend some of that time that we had to sit there and wait for the boat. So,
yes.
So that's cool. A place called Kos, very briefly named in Acts chapter 21. Paul stopped in that harbor where we were sitting. Maybe he needed some sun. Maybe he laid down
Maybe he had him a Greek salad.
And maybe he had a Greek salad and then moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Like we did, eventually. And got on a boat heading toward Patmos and moved among those islands. I can't remember the grouping of islands. It starts with a D. And we made a lot of stops along the way to get here to Patmos, where tomorrow morning we'll, you know, see the connection points to the Apostle John the Theologian, as he is known here, and the Apocalypse of John, the Book of Revelation that was written here, that has captured the intense imagination of everyone who has read it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to process that, like, that we're here and that work was inspired here.
Yeah.
We visited all of those seven churches that appear in the Book of Revelation. And now we're here where that originated. And we'll get to see that before we leave here. But we did get some time, and it is a beautiful, like, it is beautiful. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's 7 miles long and 3 miles wide. It's small.
Roughly 3,800 people live here.
Yeah.
And there are several celebrities that own homes here.
Ah, now that was a piece that you discovered.
Yes.
Fun fact about my wife. If there's a famous person who owns a house somewhere.
Really?
I'm just playing with you.
And I love architecture. I love houses. I love different houses. And I mean, the starkness of these islands. And you can see 3 or 4 islands with nothing. And then all of a sudden, there's just this gorgeous home
mm-hmm.
that stands alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't want to go see inside that house.
Yeah.
And how do these people go to the grocery store?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Island life like this must be very different, but it sure is appealing.
It is, just because it's so quiet and quaint. Like, leaving Athens last night, you and I got to explore a little bit. We just found our favorite little place there.
Mm-hmm.
And went back a second time to have this dessert that a friend made me several years ago that I had never had before in my life until she made it. And then I saw it on the menu at this restaurant that we were at, and I've never seen it on a menu. So the first night we were there, I ordered it, and they were completely out.
Right.
So we had dinner, and I said, oh, let's go back to that place and have banoffee.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. So we had our... It was very yummy. We had our favorite little place to have a little date before we left the island, or Athens.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a Saturday night, and it was so people-y.
Oh man, it was hopping.
It was even more busy than the other days and nights that we were there, and it's already just a really happening part of town, so... Leaving that and going to quaint and quiet just felt like a reprieve for my soul.
Same. And it was so, like I said, like, we're here and we're just describing our day, and wanted to check in because tomorrow we got a real, like, there's literally no way we're going to be able to do this until day after tomorrow. And so I just wanted to pop in. Even though there's not like a ton of biblical things to say, we're here on Patmos, and it's so quaint, and it was so sweet to just walk hand in hand with you.
Same.
Down these little alleys and streets and...
Yeah.
I love that so much, and it is quiet, and... like I said, I am still truly... Like, Revelation... I have a strange relationship with that book.
Same.
Because my early life, that was like a book that literally scared the living crap out of me.
It scared the hell out of me.
And I just, as a kid, you know, so many people would be saying so many different things that were like predictive, and I would be scared as a kid of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was the intention too. I mean, that's why I said what I said, is that there was kind of this fear of hell.
Yeah. But it wasn't just like a fear of hell for me. It was like a fear of all the things that were, you know, going to happen that I just couldn't understand. And there's so many different explanations and.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just kind of growing up. Just with that in the back of your mind, it's just kind of always there. And then I, you know, began, I've read it 20 times now. And there was one year that I just did a deep dive, like literally did a, like as scholarly of a dive as I possibly could to go like, all right, this is apocalyptic literature. What is the symbolism here? Because you can make this mean so many things.
Right, right.
And it has been used in so many ways for so many reasons. And that is not just in our lifetime. That has been since the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so over thousands of years, so many people have thought so many things about so many different circumstances in the world and so many different leaders and, you know, numerology and just everything about it. And, yeah, and so just coming here and going like, man, if there is a single book in the Bible that has generated so much curiosity, so much fear, but yeah. Also so much hope and, so much, faith,
so many absolutes. From something so abstract, is that
I think
safe
that's,
to say?
I think that's totally fair to say. It's like, wow, that is on this very that like happened on this little tiny like we're here, like right now you and I are talking from the place where this happened, and
mm-hmm.
It's a little island. I was always taught this is like a prison island. Come to find out, that's not. It was an island of exile. The Roman Empire like had a couple of islands, and this is one of them, where, you know, like to silence maybe a political person or a religion, so, to silence somebody without making them a martyr.
Oh, wow.
Was to exile them and just kind of take them out of commission, because to kill them would make them a martyr, which would actually make, you know, make it worse. Like if you're trying to like just silence a certain kind of movement or a certain kind of political message or something, to kill a person is to only make that stronger.
Mm.
So the Empire had learned like exile, just like take them, like they don't have to be punished per se. They don't have to be killed. They don't have to be beaten down or anything that can make them a victim. Just pull them out of society, put them on an island. They can't escape. They cannot be heard. They are out of commission.
Wow.
And that's what Patmos was used for. And so John was obviously reaching.
Wow, that is so fast. Okay, hold on just a second. I'm just kind of sitting with that because I'm like, what a great rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. You kind of think you're sending them to punishment, but what if they just have all of this revelation? Like we learned at the monasteries, the monks who just remove themselves away from society to focus on God. I mean, I guess you can focus on whatever you want to focus on if you're all alone and don't know anybody.
Yeah.
But man, what a great way to, hopefully, it's a great way for someone to come to the end of themselves.
Sure. Sure. So, John's here, having been sent from Ephesus here for preaching. I believe it was the Emperor Dalmatian. No, I don't remember. Man, there are so many facts and feet, like there's piles of information to be processed.
And you're probably right.
In our New Testament knowledge. But he was pulled out of commission for teaching basically a foreign religion. Not like he hadn't been doing that all along, but there was like some selective persecution going on, and it affected John. And so he's out here on Patmos, and on the Lord's Day, this all come, you know, like Jesus speaks to these churches. And I mean, so like I said, I have this strange relationship with Revelation, but I've read it enough times to know, like, ultimately, underneath all the symbolism, ultimately, it is a message of endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in the New Testament. Like, as these letters progress, and in our year, as we read through them, but as the letters progress, the early church is getting impatient because, and they are starting to face hardship. And they're trying to figure out what's going on, because they thought Jesus was coming back. Like, they thought that it was imminent, like that he was going to establish his kingdom, and they were going to live it and see it. And then it wasn't happening, and people were dying, and people were suffering and being marginalized, and their hope was being dashed. And so this message of endurance begins to appear really clearly in all these letters, but not any more clearly in the book of Revelation. Like, endure until the end is core to that work. And so it doesn't scare me like it did in childhood, but it also, like, is fascinating to see just how much people are still trying to, like, sort out.
Yeah.
Like, the calendar of it. And yeah, how to back read whatever is happening in the world in their lifetime to make it fit the book.
When, and it's like, did we miss that no man knows the day or the hour? Like, not even Jesus?
I mean, that was... Jesus' eschatological view was basically, be ready.
Right.
Pretend like it's now. Like, live like it's now. Like, but nobody actually knows, except for the Father. So, I don't want to get into all that. Truly, I don't. I'm just, it's being here on Patmos. It's like touching something so young and so, you know, just so deep, I guess, that I don't know exactly kind of really what to do with it just yet. It's
That's
very
really sweet.
Cool to go like, okay, you know, another place that is pivotal. Like, we have so deeply chased the book of Acts so deeply, truly followed the New Testament after the Gospels, because we've been all over the places that Jesus was. And so to really, really see how this played out, at least for me, and I think this is true for you, everything has changed as far as my view and understanding of why these letters and where these letters happened.
Oh, absolutely. Context matters.
Hugely. Hugely. And just to kind of follow the steps and see the geography and understand the distances, and man, it just...
And I think it's so comforting, really, to just hear you say that you have a difficult relationship with the book of Revelations. Revelation. It's not Revelations, is it?
Mm-mm.
It's people from Michigan that put S on the end of everything. Like Walmarts, Kmarts, mm-hmm. and Revelations. Because I feel the same way. I remember reading it for myself the first time and going, wait a minute. I got these messages taught to me and believed them as a young child from this writing, mm-hmm. from this interpretation,
mm-hmm.
and repeated what I was taught so matter-of-factly, so certainly, so sort of self-righteously. And I'm where you're at. Like, I'm hoping to get even just an inth. Is that a word?
It works. I like it. I think you should keep it.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. A smidgen of some sort of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And usually learning the history and the context, it often does that in these places.
It's grounding is what it is. Like, it's a grounding thing to get rooted in the actual context so that you can apply it to your faith instead of just letting anything mean anything.
Yeah.
And we have this really, really bad habit of reading our culture back, like back reading it as if, you know, the Bible was written in the culture we understand. It's a totally different thing.
Right.
And so with thousands of years ago with totally like a totally different part of the world. So it's not like human beings and the heart of a human being has changed, but the context in which things happen matter.
Mm-hmm.
To like actually doing the work of interpreting correctly and applying correctly what the Bible teaches us. So.
Yeah. And this also does not mean that we're going to visit this site and come away in 2 days and go, we now understand completely and can translate and articulate and explain the book of Revelations. But I do think, I don't know, I just think the cave in which John wrote this book, because apparently this is the place, the cave,
mm-hmm.
that he was in when he wrote it. I'm just intrigued to learn it all.
I am too.
I'm going to read the entire book tonight for reference before we go to bed.
Praise the Lord, sister. Sweet dreams.
I'm going to attempt to. I don't know how much we're going to actually make it through. Does that mean you're not going to stay up and read it with me?
No, I will.
Oh. All right.
I actually love the first part of Revelation.
You're actually going to read it to me aloud.
Okay. I love the first part of Revelation. The letters from Jesus. I actually love that.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say I don't love all of it, but those letters, they speak to me. They should speak to everybody. And reading them now, knowing that we know what those, you know, where those churches were.
Yeah.
It's really helpful. Anyway, we are on the island of Patmos. Briefly, and we have gotten to drink in the atmosphere of it and understand a little bit of the history of it and even look way up on the hill,
mm-hmm.
at a monastery from, I think, the 900s, because this island was bequeathed to a soldier, I believe.
Bequeathed?
Yeah.
It's a great word.
Like there were pirates here, like all kinds of stuff. But then this was kind of restored and a monastery was built and it became a place of pilgrimage. And I'm sure we will be able to share all of that as we learn it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here. And as we're here, having done none of those things yet, I'm just, at least personally, just sharing like how I'm feeling about being here.
Yeah, it's really sweet to see it affect you so profoundly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a deep connection to a lot of young fear and a lot of adult endurance. And so, and I think of John. Mm. I mean, it's like so weird. We were at his actual gravesite.
Right.
And that is like probably not traditional. That is probably the real, like the real deal.
Yeah.
And in Ephesus, so where he was, and where, believe it or not, it seems like forever ago that we were in Ephesus, but we're less than 100 miles away from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though we've traveled like 2,000 miles since then, we're like back close again. So, I don't really know what else to share. I think that's maybe where we're at right now.
I think one thing that I might add that you and I were discussing last night on our little date walk through Athens was, you know, belief is so imperative to how we live our life. And we can believe whatever we choose to believe, however we get those beliefs. A lot of times, even when it comes to religion, denomination, our beliefs are handed down. They're passed down from generation to generation. Because if you don't believe a certain way, you can be exiled in your own people group, your own family, your own community.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we've actually seen that happen many times. We can hold on to those beliefs so tightly and have no idea where they've originated from, the origin of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they've been passed down. It's like hearsay, right?
Yeah.
And think that we absolutely have it. We have the truth.
Right.
And we can believe things and miss reality.
Yeah.
But you said such a profound thing to add to that. Those beliefs become our reality.
Yeah, that's our faith.
That's our faith. But that's not necessarily truth.
Right.
It's just a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like it can't even be our truth because it's not. It may not be truth. We can believe in something so false. Sorry, I don't want to get weed deep here, but I think the thing, when I think about where we're at right now, is it's so freeing to be able to let go of the fear of the belief for me. I don't know what I believe about a lot of this right now.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's okay to say.
Mm.
Like, we want our leaders, we want to know what they believe and what they think about things, so that we can know that we're right or that we're onto the right thing. I don't know where I'm at with this idea of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know, I think this is where we ended up last night. It is so freeing to not have to believe in something because of fear.
Yeah.
If perfect love casts out fear,
mm-hmm.
then I think we're fearing a lot of the wrong things.
Right.
At least my own personal story, personal belief system. So yeah. I'm here. I mean, you've kind of been joking about it, but it's kind of true. I'm here for any revelation I can get.
Me too.
On revelation.
I'm here for any revelations.
And I'm just excited.
That are possible.
I'm excited. I think I'm going to go into this tomorrow completely fear-free. That's my goal.
Yeah.
What's your goal?
To be open.
Yeah.
I think I give up the fear, at least the childhood fear, a long time ago.
Mm.
So I didn't come here afraid. It's just being here actually just kind of evokes, like, holy cow, that was this, like, of any book in the Bible, it's the one that confused me the most.
Sure. It's confusing.
And so, and the imagery and everything is so, like, vivid and, but also not, it's literature, it's poetic, it's apocalyptic, it's symbolic, and it's full of allegory and, you know, I think I gave up the fear when I did the deep dive, just going, okay, wait a minute. Why do we choose to read certain things literally and certain things figuratively? Why do we make, like, how do we make those determinations?
Right.
That this particular verse is literal and the next one is figurative and symbolic.
Right.
And so kind of being able to get to the end of that and go, like, okay, here's a scholar, like, here truly is a scholarly view. Non-theological, like, not actually trying to make predictions or connect dots, but just what is really here in the text and why are we making these determinations? Because that's really what it comes down to for me in Revelation is, why do we just choose to take certain things literally and certain things symbolically?
Right.
And how do we make that determination? So I don't know that I came out here with any fear. It's just, I'm here. Like, it's like, wow, the island of Patmos. Man, like, the whole book of Revelation comes from here. This is nuts. This
mm-hmm. is
crazy to be out here on this little island in the middle of the ocean and be sitting here talking about it. It's nuts.
It is nuts. And I think, you know, a lot of what you just said, we've had to unravel in therapy, just individually and collectively of, you know, how right do you have to get it? How perfect, how well do you have to perform perfectly to get it right?
Mm.
So that you don't miss what's coming so mm-hmm. that you can have, I don't know, so that you can say that you're right, so that you can believe that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
It's just very freeing to get off the hamster wheel.
Yeah. I agree. So
we're going fear-free.
Off the hamster wheel.
Off the hamster wheel. And I love that you've just found that little young place inside your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to honor and take with you. And I don't know. I just think that's precious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to be here with you.
Same.
And I'm glad we can take everybody along with us.
Same.
Into this. And I guess we'll sign off for now.
And we are going to take tomorrow off.
We have to. Like, we don't have a choice. By the time we will leave here and end up in Crete, and so kind of put ourselves in the book of Titus, the letter to Titus. But it's going to take, it'll be after, well after midnight before we get there. So, and then we have to be up really early for a long 10-hour day.
It's our most strenuous day of travel.
The most strenuous day of the whole thing. And that's just because of how, it's not like, it's just not easy to get around these islands and get.
Yeah.
Like it's not like there's a flight on the hour, every hour to every place you want to go. So you just kind of got to roll with what you can get. So we got a really long day. So thank you for praying for us actually on that, because it's going to be a very long day. But then we'll be back. We'll be back and we'll be able to kind of share where we are and where we're going next and what we've seen and done. And we'll continue to have a video every day. We've been able to successfully do that. Right now I can't show you, we can't show you all these, remarkable sights about John, but we can show you Patmos and how we got here. And so check that out. And in the meantime, thank you for your prayers. And that is all for today. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you and will be not here tomorrow, but we'll be here in spirit. And we'll talk to you soon.
This is Dr. John in Illinois. I have an urgent request for my DAB family. I'm asking you, family, would you pray for my friend, Dr. Steve? He's been my lifelong friend, another doctor that we've shared our whole life with, and just want to ask the DAB family to pray for him. He has some health issues, and he's undergoing some tests right now, and there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiousness here going on, and I can't think of a better place other than straight to Christ that I would bring my needs than with this family. So, DAB family, would you remember Dr. Steve today? He's a godly man, him and his wife, and we've already seen through this illness, through the sickness, there's already been restoration because that's how our God works. But I would ask you to remember him and his family in this hour that he needs clarity, he needs wisdom, and in peace and God's direction. So I'm grateful. I love you all. So grateful to be just a part of this family. It has sustained me through all my trials, all my hardships, and I can't think of a better place to lift my needs to than to you. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Hello, this is Hopeful Daughter in Washington. I just wanted to start by thanking everyone that's been praying for my dad, Kenny, and everyone that's called in. Unfortunately, I don't have an update yet, so I'm just, please continue to pray for him as he battles addiction. Abba has blessed me with two dads, my biological father, Kenny, whom I've already asked for prayer for, and Abba blessed me with my dad, John, when I was 3. John rescued me. And my mom called earlier today, and John has had a heart attack, and he's in the hospital, and he has to have a procedure. He's doing okay. He's in good spirits. I'm just asking for prayer, healing for him, and peace for my mom. She's scared, I can tell. And I'd also like to just speak to Daniel for a moment. I'm praying for you. I know I know the pain in your heart. And I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to just shine through the broken pieces in your heart. I'm so grateful for everyone. Thank you for your prayers.
Hi, good morning, family. This is Tiffany calling from New Orleans. I was calling, Rachel, I just heard you from South Carolina calling on October 24th. It is about 5:57 this morning. And I was just listening while you encourage him, but my God, you encourage me so. As much as I stand trying to walk this Christian walk, Lord God, you know, sometimes I lose sight that it is truly a daily sanctification, that I'm not going to have everything all together, that it's not going to be that, you know, perfect is an illusion, oh God. I just thank God so much for you calling in, Rachel, for Dylan, because I so badly relate to things. Like, I relate to what he was saying when he called in, and I lifted him up as well, because I too struggle with it. You know, Lord God, I try my hardest to, just do right, you know, but it's not in my strength. Thank you so, so much, Rachel. Lord God, I just ask right now that you bless her, Lord God. I thank you that you allowed her to be used, oh God, and to come on the DAB and lift up Dylan, Lord God, not knowing who all she was going to touch with the words she said, Father God. Father, I just thank you right now. I praise you and I magnify you. Lord God, you're so worthy. You're so awesome, oh God. Lord God, and you're right on time. That's the best thing. You're always on time. Because, Lord God, there's times when I'm so down. And I don't want to truly say that I be depressed. But, Lord God, that may be the feeling and emotions I truly feel when I can't really put a word to it. When I'm not up to par, when I mess up, when I fail, and I do come back and I repent. But Lord God, I just bless you and I thank you for Rachel and all the dappers that come on and lift us up and encourage us in the time of need.
Greetings, my DAB family. This is New Envisioned Growth out of New York. And today is Friday, October 24th, and I'm listening to this commentary at the end with Brian and Jill, and I'm crying along with hearing this one hit me. And without giving too many spoiler alerts, I feel like that was an angel that they encountered in Athens, and what a beautiful moment for them both, especially for Jill to experience, like she said, the gospel at that moment, to be able to help and to know how the Holy Spirit just spoke to her in the prayer of, you know, God help this young man, and the Holy Spirit saying, can you help them? And it was something for all of us, I think. Can we help those that we pray about? We are the arms and the legs for God. And I mean, I was tithing anyway today, but this just confirmed, because I need this ministry to continue to do what it's doing. I'm just so grateful to be a part of it. And just keep it going. I love this ministry. I love DAB, DABC, and I love you guys.